When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is the podcast for the journal Neuropsychopharmacology. I'm Cynthia Graber. Marijuana use for medical purposes is becoming increasingly common in the U.S., and doctors prescribe it for ills ranging from headaches to insomnia. And yet, there's little scientific data supporting its medical use. In a recent Circumspectives article in the journal Neuropsychopharmacology, Dr. Margaret Haney and Dr. Eden Evans discuss and debate the relationship between cannabis use and two psychiatric disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder and psychotic illnesses, particularly schizophrenia. Dr. Haney begins the paper with the potential of cannabis, or cannabinoids, FDA-approved oral drugs, to treat PTSD.
What is exciting and very interesting and still a very novel area of research is data showing that these oral cannabinoids can come at PTSD from two angles. It can both treat the acute symptoms, so anxiety, alarm, and sleep. These are some of the acute problems with PTSD. But it could also go to the core of PTSD and potentially help with extinction of these traumatic memories. And so that's where there's a lot of research that needs to be done. When the best time to potentially take the cannabinoids in relation to the trauma, and how to best use cannabinoids to help extinguish these traumatic memories.
Dr. Evans wrote about her concerns about the use of marijuana to treat PTSD. In part, she says, there's so much that scientists still don't know. They don't know, for instance, how medical marijuana might lead to cannabis use disorders or how it would affect psychiatric disorders like PTSD over time.
Dr. Haney speaks about specific cannabinoids. These are oral medications where we can control the actual psychoactive compound and the dose. This is not the case in smoked cannabis, which includes, there are different estimates, but sort of up to 80 psychoactive compounds. So we don't understand the effect of smoked cannabis on disease course over time. We don't know what the impact it will have on development of other substance use disorders. Would high-frequency, high-dose cannabis smoking lead to development of other substance use disorders? Would it have negative impact on learning and memory? And that may depend on what age use is initiated.
Dr. Evans points to a longitudinal study of 200 veterans where they were classified in four groups by their cannabis use. One group was not using before treatment or afterwards. One group was using at admission but stopped. One started using after admission, and the fourth used before and after. Dr. Evans says the researchers had to adjust for age and other psychiatric problems, but after adjusting for those, the veterans who initiated cannabis use after starting treatment for PTSD had the worst symptoms.
We need randomized trials, which we would be doing in traditional study of medication efficacy and safety. People would be randomized to receive drug versus placebo, and this is what we need as a next step. So this is one indication, and it's not good news. It may be just that those who have the worst symptoms will be the ones to turn to cannabis for relief of those symptoms. Although it does show that those initiating cannabis use had the worst outcomes. So randomized trials are needed. That's clear.
So I just wanted to quickly comment on that, because I think one of the points of our paper is, yes, definitely more research is needed. And that's been difficult to do with marijuana, given its scheduling as a Schedule I compound. But I do emphasize a lot of caution in the longitudinal, interpreting the longitudinal data, which I know you're expressing, Eden, but I hesitate to leave the impression that it's marijuana causing those problems, because again, as you point out, there are so many confounds that could be explaining it. So the people in most distress with the most severe symptoms are turning to these other drugs and not doing well. So that's why this research is needed. And just the other point we want to make about the real risk of developing a cannabis use disorder in this vulnerable population of people with PTSD is that cannabis withdrawal symptoms would pretty seriously exacerbate the PTSD symptoms. So it would be, again, more disrupted sleep and more anxiety. So that is a concern.
And to turn to another psychiatric illness, psychosis, and you specifically mentioned schizophrenia, Dr. Evans, to start with you, based on the research that you've read, how would you explain the link between the use of cannabis and the onset of psychosis?
Okay, so here we have other longitudinal observational studies, which have the caveats of not being randomized. But we have a large body of work at this point implicating cannabis use, especially early onset, heavy use of high-potency THC cannabis being associated with increased odds of the psychotic illness, to the point where, taken as a whole, you see a dose effect. The more you smoke, or the more frequently you smoke, or the higher potency cannabis you use, and the earlier you use, the higher your odds are of developing a psychotic illness. So for those with schizophrenia, cannabis use is not a good idea. The question is whether it is a causal factor among many factors, the strongest of which genetic. And further emerging evidence is showing that exposure to cannabinoids in adolescence disrupts dopamine receptor coupling as well as neuronal migration. So we're beginning to understand some of the pathophysiology that may underlie some of these epidemiologic effects that have been shown.
Dr. Haney, I was wondering about your response, how you read the data about psychiatric disease and cannabis use.
I have a somewhat just scientifically more conservative interpretation of the data, as I see just so many confounds with this link. The link is absolute. There certainly is a relationship, an association between cannabis and psychosis. But I think there are several points. As Dr. Evans mentioned, schizophrenia is really a neurodevelopmental disorder. There's problems or differences evident from a very, very early age. So the fact that those who are destined to develop a psychotic disorder or tended to develop a psychotic disorder, the relationship between the fact that they're smoking and developing this disorder, to me, does not implicate cannabis in causing the disorder. I just think that they could be simply that individuals with these symptoms are turning to marijuana. There are studies showing that individuals who have a psychotic disorder are more sensitive to both the negative and positive consequences of smoking marijuana, in that they appear to find the effects are more pleasurable, yet they also are experiencing auditory hallucinations. So I also make the point that regardless of what it's doing to their psychotic symptoms, marijuana and cannabis is a drug of abuse. They're feeling a reinforcing, a positive subjective effect from the drug, and that in and of itself could explain why they're turning to it in a condition where both the medications they're taking are rather unpleasant, and the fact that they have these negative symptoms is part of the disorder, with a lack of pleasure in their lives. So that could in and of itself explain it. So I am a bit harping just again on the fact that, again, all these relationships we're seeing in longitudinal studies are not sufficient for me to indicate causality. Now, there is this biological plausible explanation that does make me conclude it's, even in the absence of causality, I still am very hesitant to suggest it's fine to smoke marijuana in adolescence. I think there's the cannabinoid receptor, again, in this prefrontal cortex is rapidly developing throughout adolescence, and it's certainly feasible that cannabis use at this time point could have long-lasting effects. I'm just not convinced by the data yet that they do, but, given the biological plausibility, it does seem prudent to be cautious about cannabis use in adolescence.
Both Dr. Haney and Dr. Evans agree that cannabis use is not recommended for adolescents, particularly those who might have a stronger genetic susceptibility to psychiatric diseases. They also agree that cannabinoids, and potentially cannabis itself, might be useful to treat PTSD, but the public is already approving medications through the voting process instead of gaining crucial knowledge via carefully controlled scientific trials. Dr. Evans continues.
I think that Dr. Haney and I are both very excited to see cannabinoids studied in controlled trials for these and other psychiatric illnesses for which it's now being used. And I wholeheartedly agree with our frustration that medications are just being approved by voters without really evaluating the risks and benefits. I think we both are concerned that people will be harmed in this process.
The discussion about marijuana, it's so polarized in this country, and it's not honest. So people tend to be in the camp that it's all good and all good for everything, or it's all bad, and it's clearly a complicated plant that has enormous potential, but we have to figure out for which diseases it works. It's not going to work for everything if it works for anything. So we're in this place where it's very black or white, when clearly it's going to be much more complicated than that.
I agree 100%, and I would only maybe say that it's a complicated plant, constituents of which have enormous promise for different ailments.
We're really just at the beginning of understanding how these cannabinoids and all 80 or more of them are impacting the brain and where they're acting on the brain, because many of them don't even bind to the cannabinoid 1 or 2 receptors. So the field is in its infancy now. So again, society has jumped way far ahead of where we are scientifically.
For the journal Neuropsychopharmacology, I'm Cynthia Graber.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.